family of God is the greatest family on the earth. You know that?
Amen.
I know that our nature and you've got to remember which nature that is, that always tends to lean us toward our earthly family more. But after we're saved, the relationship you build with God's family is the most important. And I know that may sound hard to say, but listen, you've got family and I have too. And we need to love them and be good to them and try to help them. And as far as our earthly family, try to lead them to the Lord. But if they don't come to the Lord, listen, there's a part of them is no way that you can ever connect to like you connect with God's people. And we're going to be together forever. And as sad as it is, we've all got family that's not going to be with us forever. Not going to be with us. And, you know, and it should bother us. It should bother me. It should bother you that our earthly family, some of them, don't seem to want Christ. They don't want us, they don't seem to want, you know, what we want. And, but God's people have a likeness and have a similarity about a lot of things. You can meet God's people no matter where they are, and you're going to find those very familiar beliefs, actions, words, same love. Amen. And what a blessing that that is. What a blessing that that is. if you've got your Bible, turn with me to 2 Timothy, chapter number 3, 2 Timothy, chapter number 3, I want to read one verse. This know also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Let's read verse 2. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Men, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. What I want to try to talk with us a little bit about this evening is one of the greatest hindrances to your fellowship with God. One of the greatest hindrances to your fellowship with God. And it's a great hindrance to any of us that are saved. And there's going to be more and more of it, according to the scripture, in the last days. He starts chapter 3 by saying and talking about the coming apostasy that had not come as of yet when Paul wrote this to young Timothy. This know also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. And that's a mouthful to say perilous times shall come, because there's a lot of perils that fall underneath that statement.
a lot of perils. And the perilous times when he mentioned that shall come, he said, this is going to be some of the things you're going to see in these perilous times. Perilous. And the first one on the list was, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. That's a peril to you and me. That's a danger to you and me. To love our own selves more than we love God. To fall into this that, you know, we love what? We love ourselves and what we desire and what we want. You know why? Because that right there will keep you and I from loving God first. From putting God first. Listen, our Christian, you have to believe, you have to know this, that for you and I to live by faith and to live by God's grace, listen to me, and to be pleasing to the Lord, that God asks something out of you and I. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. And then he said, love God first. With all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And then love your neighbor as yourself. We can't do none of that if we're lovers of our own selves. I love myself. I love what I want. And what I'm planning and what I'm doing. Are you listening to me? Lovers, that's a peril to our Christian life. You talk about getting backslid in a hurry, we get backslid in a hurry. And if you don't realize that, listen, it's real easy to identify. And here it is. Are there things that are first and God is secondary? Are there things in our life that's first and God is secondary? You say, well, you know, we don't mean to put God second. Listen, you should never put God second. I should never put God second. They should never be any day of the week, any week of the month, any month of the year that we put God second. Amen. God is to be first in our life. And if God's first in our life, then we're going to love him more than we love ourselves. Love him more than we love ourselves. But listen, we love our own selves and we're covetous. We're covetous. That right there will cause people to love their own self more than being covetous. Being covetous. I've seen people put God second over money more times in my ministry than I ever have seen anything else. Covetous. Covetous. And listen, I know this list right here, we look at a lot of time, and we think that, you know, this is lost people. There's a lot of lost people in here. But these things can affect you and I. Do you know that? And just loving our own selves, that's what's caused a lot of people to go into apostasy. That's what's caused them to just give up on God altogether. Quit church altogether. Ministers quitting the ministry altogether. Just stopping. Not preaching anymore. Not teaching anymore. Not living for God anymore. Not going to church anymore. There's more and more of it in the last days. Paul warns us that in the last days, perilous times come. Listen, it's dangerous to be a Christian today. It's dangerous. And it's dangerous especially when our flesh and what we want, are you listening to me, is first. when I put my flesh first. Now the Apostle Paul, and you know, you can look at this in a lot of ways, but Paul led up to this in Timothy, and you can just start in chapter number 2. That's where I want to start, and telling him how to not be a lover of his own self, and how not to, you know, put God second, but how to get through perilous times. And he said, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Now listen, you and I, if we're going to be strong in the grace that's in Christ, then you and I, first of all, we need to know what we've been taught about God's grace. We need to know what we've been taught about God's grace. There are some things that you and I, when we first get saved, that we need to be taught about the Lord and about His grace. I mean, you know, that we're saved by His grace. Amen. And that all that we are by His grace. And but also this, that the grace of God that brought you and I salvation has teaching us some things. It's taught us some things. And it teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. Don't ever mistake God's grace for an excuse to sin. There's a lot of people say, well, you know, God understands. And are you listening to me? Yeah, He does. And that's why there's 1 John 1:9. Confess your sin to Him. Amen. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin. But I cannot continue on loving myself and putting God second and expect my relationship with God to be strong. And listen, the things that you and I have learned and heard, we need to commit those things. Listen, when you're telling somebody else how that the Lord would have them to do, then you see what it does is it puts you in a place where you know they're watching your life. And then see, you can't, I mean, if you're going to tell someone else something, you've got to be doing it yourself. Amen. Amen. If you're gonna teach on something or preach on something, you've got to be doing that yourself. If you're gonna guide some young Christian in the way, it's good that you're doing that yourself. And we should show them how to deny their flesh and to put God first. Listen, God is first. God's first above my family. God's first. God is first. Listen, God has to be first. And our family need to see that God's first. Amen? Our family needs to see that God's first. And he said, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Sometimes these things are hard. It's hard on the flesh. Amen? It is definitely hard on the flesh. I've had my family come in at times, just like many other people. Listen, you'll have family come in, and maybe some of them serve God, maybe some of them don't. But you know what they need to see out of your life and my life? That God's first. That God is first. And they've come in, and it's been Sunday. You know where I am? I'm at God's house. And I may not have seen them for months or even years. But you know, they know when it's service time that I'm where God is. That's where we should, listen, that shows our people that God is first. And sometimes that's hard on the flesh. But if you'll keep doing that, listen, then they'll know that you serve God and that God means something in your life. That'll be a witness unto them. Amen. If you want to get your family saved, be a witness to them. Let them know that God really means something in your life. God means something. His words mean something. His commands mean something in our lives. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You know why? Because you and I are definitely going to be put in a battle and put to the test. And it is, it's spiritual warfare. It's spiritual warfare. Whether you are not keep God's commands is going to be spiritual warfare. And Satan has a venue, and he's got a purpose. Are you listening to me? And his purpose is to show everybody that God's not really first in your life or my life. But we've got to endure hardness as a good soldier. We need to show them we too have a purpose. Amen? We too have a purpose. My purpose, your purpose, my whole purpose is to love God with all my heart. He's my creator. He's my God. He really means everything in my life. Then they'll see something. They'll see something. They'll see something that's different. But listen, if we trade God off, if we trade God off because we love ourselves, we won't. Are you listening? I know that's hard to hear sometimes, but I'm telling you the truth. We love ourselves. I understand a lot of things. I've been in a lot of positions that, you know, providentially you can't help. You're hindered. You may be sick. You may be down. And listen, God knows all that. I know God heaven knows all that. Our God's an understanding God. But listen, if I'm just tired, are you listening to me? Everybody's tired. Amen? Come to God's house. Be faithful to the Lord. Pray. Amen? Worship the Lord. Amen? Do what God asks out of your life. Put Him first. Put Him to the test, amen. If you don't think that God will strengthen you and bless you, then just try Him. Just like He said for us when we give, He said, try me and see. Try me and see. See if I'll not pour you out a blessing. You'll not have room enough to receive it. Amen. Well, I've got to have this to take care of me. You've got to have Him to take care of you. Amen. Amen. Don't you think God would do a lot better taking care of you than a $20 bill would? Amen. That's exactly right. Hey, listen to me. I've got more confidence in God's ability to take care of me than I do $1 million. Are you listening to me? Amen. $1 million ain't going to give me my next breath. That's right, 10 million ain't going to make sure that I'm walking tomorrow, amen? Hey, a zillion ain't going to make sure I've got a home in heaven, but my God does make sure that I've got a place. He's worthy of being first. And we need to endure hardness sometimes as a good soldier. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. Listen, you and I get more entangled with things of the world that hinder us for God. Something we need to do for God, most of the time, it's a worldly thing that knocks us out of doing God's service. We're tangled up in the world. Tangled up with some worldly event. Oh me, or amen, is what the old preachers used to say. No man that warreth. You can't say that you're really warring a good warfare entangled in the world. That's like saying, I love God when you don't keep His commandment. Amen? Are you in the fight? Oh, yeah, I'm in the fight. No, you're not. You're entangled in the world. You're entangled in the things of the world. The things of the world. God said that all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, it's not of the Father, it's of the world. Give it up. Amen. Give it up and put God first. Give it up. Give it up. It's the last days. It's a dangerous time. And you and I could very easily fall away if we don't learn to take God seriously. We don't take our Christian life seriously. He talked about in verse 6 about a husbandman that laboreth. Laboreth. I've said this, boy, it'd be good if every child of God inside the house of God was a laborer for God. Amen. We labor for self. How about laboring for God? Are we selfish? Are we lovers of our own selves? Or are we lovers of God? Are we laborers for Him or just labor for ourselves? We labor much for ourselves. Well, what about laboring for God? Jesus even had to say, pray the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into the harvest. Why? It's the one thing that's lacking most. Laborers in the harvest. Why, many men and women are laboring for themselves and love themselves. We need to labor for God. Labor for Him. Consider what I say in the Lord, give thee understanding in all things. You talk about changing your life. Listen, we're not as in good a shape as we thought we was if we put ourselves first a whole lot. If we put everything else first and God second. Well, it's just, you know, here or there. Well, that's enough. That's enough. That's enough to make a big statement. Amen. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. He's talking about how that the Lord, the message of the Lord, the gospel of the Lord, was what Paul was suffering trouble for. He wasn't suffering trouble. He wasn't in jail because he loved himself. He was in jail because he loved Christ. Amen. Amen. You talk about a man's life who reflected his love for God first and Christ first. You don't find anywhere in Paul's three missionary journeys where he ever took a vacation. Amen? He didn't go to Herodwood. He didn't go to ride the camels around the pyramids. Are you listening to me? In Pharaoh's fun park. No! No! He was serious about his labor and his work for Christ, his love for God, and being unselfish and definitely not loving this flesh, but denying the flesh. He preached us to deny it. Deny this flesh. Deny ungodliness and worldly lust. You deny your flesh and you will deny those things. Amen? Because the ungodliness and the worldly lust, it comes right down your flesh and my flesh. Amen? If we put it under subjection, as Paul said, put it under subjection. Amen? Remember these things. He said, therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. He said, I love God and I serve God for their sake. For their sake. Listen, I know there's times that, you know, people break away, go see their family, and, you know, there's things that there's nothing wrong with. I'm not preaching to not love your family or not be good to your family, but I'm telling you, quit putting them first. Quit showing them every time they show up that they're more important than God is. Or anything else. We schedule things, we'll schedule it on God's day instead of any other day. We need to schedule things around God's day. Now you say, God's day, I'm going to be at church, you see. You say, well, they won't have it. I'll miss it. Well, just miss it. You give it a year or two, they'll learn to start booking that on Saturday. Amen? Amen. Somebody say amen to what I'm telling you. Listen, the world and our lost people, they ain't never going to understand why you and I come in here on the seventh day, the first day of the week. Amen. The Lord's Day, Sunday. Why we're here Sunday morning, Sunday night. Why revival's important. Amen. Why God's Word is important. They're never going to understand that. But they should understand something about you and I that they know this person, they're going to be right there. We know they will be. Amen? God's in their life. It may mean something more to them. Listen, you and I need to be that enduring husbandman. You and I need to be that discipled, that disciplined disciple. Amen? Oh, yes, that diligent workman. And that takes hating the flesh and enduring hardness. That takes being a soldier, enduring all things, being faithful. Amen? Being dead with Him. If you're dead with Him, you'll be alive with Him. Amen? Isn't that what He said? Study to show thyself approved, verse 15 of chapter number 2. Study to show thyself approved unto God. We should want to win God's approval. How do I know what God is approved of? Study His Word. Study to show thyself approved unto God. God, I'm looking in Your Word because I want to be pleasing to You. I want to know what You say about a matter and not what my flesh feels about a matter. There are things that's going to mean much to your flesh. Listen, I was a young man. And I can't tell you how much the martial arts meant to me when I was younger. It was my life. I could have made a good living around all of Western North Carolina. I could have put dojos in every town. I've had people beg me to put them up. I had 2 black belts and 2 different martial arts. I spent years, hours and hours and hours every day learning, gauging my body to be a weapon, to learn to fight, to where I could win those world championships that I won, have the trophies and the certificates and the medals that I had. It meant everything to me. God saved me. And God called me to preach. And preaching didn't pay like karate did. Not to the flesh. I wasn't expecting to ever get paid for preaching. I'm still that way. I appreciate what the church does to take care of us, but I don't preach for pay. But I can't tell you what the martial arts meant to me. And God said, it's clear, as I'm fixing to tell you right now. He said, son, he said, I said, call no man your master. And you have those kids call you sensei, which means master. That was the first thing he said. And then he said, I said to teach men to turn the other cheek. How are you going to teach them that when you're teaching them to smite the other cheek? Everything about my martial arts was contrary to what I was learning in God's Word. I was a fighter. You listen to me? And God, you know, a man of God can't be a brawler. I can't be out here fighting in, whether it's tournaments or not. That don't look good for God's man to be out here fighting and swapping blows. Some people's got different views, but I'm telling you how God dealt with me. You know what I did? I took a box. I had a box. It was from this place where I was a shipping clerk. And that box, it was about, honestly, it was about as wide as the walkway right there is wide. It was about 4 foot wide, by 4 foot wide. And it was, I don't know, three and a half foot deep. I went home and I put all my gis, that's my outfits, all my ninja uniforms, where I'd studied ninjutsu, my swords, my size, my nunchucks, all of my certificates, all of my medals, all of my trophies, and I filled that box. Slap full. And I drug it out to the yard and humped it up on the back of a truck and took it right down the road to a dump and heaved it in the dumpster. And I looked at that and I said, okay, Lord, what now? That's just how sincere I wanted to be about my service with the Lord. No question. You didn't keep any of that. You want to tempt the flesh? I didn't need to keep none of that. I don't know at the times I've had my brother and my dad. You should have put it up in the attic. You know, you could have showed some of that. I'd rather you could have showed your children, your grandchildren, and told story. Hey, I've got a new story to tell. I've got something new that I want to talk to them about. Hey, listen. I don't want to tell them about the hours fighting. I want to tell them about the days praying and God moving and God saving me, changing me, making a new creature out of this boy. Made a new creature out of me. He took all that fight out of me. And that was painful to the flesh. Painful to the flesh. But it's good for the spirit. It's good for the spirit. I think if I'd have dabbled in that stuff all these years, I probably wouldn't even be your pastor today. I'd probably never went up to the mission field. When I was young, I'd ask them old preachers, what do you need to do to really sell out to God? What do you need to do to really sell out to the Lord? Just give your heart and give your life to the Lord. That's it. Just give your heart and your life to the Lord. Lord first. God first. Him first. Him above everything. His word above my word. Above everybody else's word. His ways, His desires above my ways and my desires. His want above my want. Hey, are you listening to me? God first. In all things. God first in everything. Be that disciplined disciple, that good soldier, that enduring husbandman, that diligent workman. Not bound by your flesh. They were some of them, Paul talked about Hymenaeus and Philetus. They had erred concerning the truth. Why? Because of their own flesh, lovers of their own selves, their own desire, their own way. Here Paul is, he's still pumping the truth out. Amen. Hey, listen, there's Timothy still pastoring, pumping the truth out. Amen. Still walking with God. Hey, still walking in the fire of God and in the wind of God. Amen. Don't you want to see men and women again where you can see the breath of God blowing around them again? I know it's the last day. It's a dangerous day. It's a perilous time. People have a form of godliness. A form of godliness. There's a danger of you and I having a form. Like little Samuel, when he was in the temple with Eli. Oh, Eli was the priest. Put there of God. He's the man that had the position. He had a form of godliness. He couldn't even hear God talking. Why? Lovers of his own self. He loved them boys. More than he loved what God said to do about it. Well, I'll hurt their feelings. I don't want to hurt nobody's feelings. But I sure don't want to hurt my God. If we worried more about disobeying him than we did about hurting somebody else, we could maybe get right where we needed to be. Amen. There's so much more in this. I wished I had time and strength. But we're in that day. Listen, church, I think it's some of the finest people right here in this church that I've ever met in my life. I can't tell you how much I love you and appreciate you. And even to think that you that even want me as your pastor, I'm just overwhelmed by that every week. That God, them people would still come and still want to listen to me. But we're all in danger of these things because it is the last day. And God, everything that God said would happen in the last days, it is happening, and it's happening all around us. And I don't want it to happen to you, and I don't want it to happen to me. I don't want it to happen to our family. So I beg you, put him first. Always. Don't be ashamed to put him first. You say, well, I'll miss out on a lot of things. You got to decide whether you're going to miss out on him or miss out on a lot of things. Amen. I want you to stand.